All right, we'll say good morning. We're gonna start only because we are limited on time. So today's daf is daf Gimel. Gimel Amud Aleph. We are picking up on Beis Amud Beis. We are picking up two, four, six, eight lines up on the bottom. So remember again, we're trying to figure out now. Thank you, Moshe, thank you. We are trying to figure out now whose opinion does the Mishnah reflect. So remember again, we mentioned that the Mishnah probably does not reflect the opinion of Simchus, because Simchus is the one who said that Mamon Hamotel B'Safek Cholkin B'lo Shvuah, that when there's doubt regarding monetary ownership, we split it up without a Shvuah. And again, that's Simchus by the case of Shor Shenaga Ches Hapara. So it appeared that the Mishnah does not reflect the view of Simchus, which the Gemara says, no. Vilutim of Simchus. You could even say it's Sumchus, Ki Amar Sumchus, Shema V'Shema. People say, when does Sumchus say that if you have Mamon Hamoto V'Safek, that your Cholek below Shvua, that's only Shema V'Shema. When the two parties ultimately, again, who are laying claim to it, both have indefinite claims. Not indefinite is the wrong term, but not solid claims. Shema claims. Aval Bariu Barilo. But again, in the case of Bariu Bariu Bose, which is like our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is Shnaim Ochsin Batalis, two people ultimately, again, are Muchzak in the Talis, then at the end of the day, even Sumchus would agree that there would be a Shvuah. So the Gemara says, Ulurava Barafunu, Amar Amar Sumchus, Afilu Bariu Barima, Ikal Neymar. But according to Rabbi Barafunu, who says that Sumchus holds that Mamon Hamotel B'Safek, Cholkin below Shvuah, even in a case of Bari Ubari, what is there to say? To which the Gemara says, Afilu Temer Sumchus, Kemer Sumchus, Hecha de Ikadra de Mamona, Ava Hecha de Leka Dra de Mamona Lo. So we'll say, when does Sumchus say that you go ahead and you're Cholik and you split up the disputed money without the Shvuah? That's only when there is a potential loss, like in the case of the shar that gored the cow that was pregnant. But in a case where there is no loss, Sumchus would agree that Lamaisa, you go ahead and you divide up the money, even without a Shvuah. We'll say our case would be a case of where there is no loss, because Lamaisa, we're dealing over here with Metziah, with a found item. V'lav Kavachomer, the Gemara says, it's not a Kavachomer. Ma hosam di'ika drad ma'mon lamar, di'ika drad ma'mon lamar. We'll say top of Gimel, v'ika lamemar, kula lamar, v'ika lamemar, kula lamar. So we'll say, again, what do we say a Kavachomer? If in a case of drad ma'mona, where one of the parties, the Hassam case is the case of the ox that gored the pregnant cow, where we would say ultimately again that there is a loss for each of the individuals, a potential loss for each of the individuals, and we know that definitively the money belongs to one of the person's people, and yet in that case Simcha says that you split it up without a Shvuah. So again, Kavachomer in this case over here, I will say where there is no definitive loss to one of the parties, Lamaisi, you would also go ahead and split it up without a Shvuah. To which the Gemara says, Amar Simchos, Mamon Amot Wuzavi Cholkin Lo Shvuah, Hacha Deleka Drar Demamona, Deika Lememar Detar Vayuhi. Both, I'm just saying this inside now. In our case, where there is no concern of a loss of money for each of the parties, since this is a found object, because, and also in addition, it's quite possible that the object actually belongs to both of them, Lokol Shekin, all the more so Sumchus would say that you should divide up the talis without a Shvuah, to which the Gemara answers, Afilu Tema Sumchus. No, the truth is, you can go ahead and you can say that our Mishnah even reflects the view of Sumchus. And I will say, the Gemara now is reaching a conclusion with this. You could even say that our Mishnah reflects the view of Sumchus. How so? Shvua zu midrabanan hi kidrabi yochanan. Dom Rabbi Yochanan, Shvua zu takanas achamis. I will say, because at the end of the day, our Mishnah really reflects the view of Rabbi Yochanan. And it could be that Sumchus aligns himself with the view of Rabbi Yochanan. What does Rabbi Yochanan say? Rabbi Yochanan says that the Shvuah of our Mishnah is a rabbinic Shvuah, is a Shvuah d'Rabbanan. What was the point of this Shvuah? Shelo yehei kol echad ve'echad holich v'tokif v'taliso v'shachavero v'omer shali. So we'll say, this Shvuah that we have in our Mishnah of Shnayim Ochsin Metalis, ze omer ani mitzasiyah v'kulo shali, v'ze omer ani mitzasiyah v'kulo shali, when the Mishnah says that they both take a Shvuah, that they own no less than half, and they split it, that is a rabbinic Shvuah. What's the point of that rabbinic Shvuah? To make sure that people don't go around grabbing onto things that are not their own. Because we'll say, what's the concern? The concern is, we've already seen that when it comes to a found object, when it comes to a metziah, it's very easy to rationalize, claiming something that's not yours. Why is it easy to rationalize that? Because the mice, at the end of the day, I'm not causing anyone a loss. You know, Reuven found the cloak. It's found money for Reuven. So I'm going to hop onto it, and I'm going to say that I own half of it. I'm not causing him any kind of loss. Therefore, I could rationalize going ahead and lying. So therefore, in order to disincentivize lying, so Chazal went ahead and slapped the Shvua on this. He said, if you claim that you jointly own something with someone else, you found something with someone else, you bought something at the same time as someone else, lemaisi, you have to take a Shvua in order to make sure that people are not lying. So we'll say that our Mishnah does not reflect the view of Rabbi Yossi. Why? What does Rabbi Yossi say? Dik Rabbi Yossi, ha amar imkein mahev sidramai. Because Rabbi Yossi, if our Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Yossi, so Rabbi Yossi says mahev sidramai. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi's case, if you look at Rashi, is the kaman Rabbi Yossi, it's the last top wide line of Rashi. The kaman bahamafkid, bahamafkid shnaim shef kidu eitzel echad zemona vezemasai. Rabbi Yossi is an interesting case. Reuven and Shimon both deposit money with a third party. One of them deposits $100. One of them deposits $200. What happens? So ze omer masayim shali, veze omer masayim shali. So Rabbi Yossi, when Reuven and Shimon come to claim their money, both Reuven and Shimon claim that they are the owner of the $200. So what happens? The kamar tanakama nosin lo zemana ulo zemana vashar yehi munach at shiyavo elio. So Rabbi Yossi, tanakama says that we give each of them 100. And the third 100, the 100 that's, because we're also, remember again, in this case, both are agreeing that they both own 100. The machlokes is who owns the second 100. So we give them each the first 100, and the second 100 is munach at shevo elio. We leave it in, elio hanavi escrow, right? Elio hanavi escrow, and when Mashiach comes, we go ahead and he'll decide who gets it. Amar Rabbi Yossi, imkein mahev sid ramai, v'lama yoda, so listen to this. Rabbi Yossi has a very interesting shita. Rabbi Yossi says, here's the problem. If everybody's going to get back their initial 100, and the second 100 just sits until Eliyahu Navi comes, what incentive does someone have? Was the wrong word. But how are you disincentivizing lying? Because we'll say, if I'm a liar, if I'm Shimon, and I'm Shimon the liar, and you know what, I feel I have a chance of getting that 200, why not just claim it? Meaning, what's the worst case scenario? What's the worst case scenario? Right? I don't get it. But what? He doesn't get it either. And I still get back my 100. Meaning, I'm not losing anything by lying. Rabbi Yossi, therefore, creates an incredible kanas situation. He says, okay, two guys, neither of you could decide who's the owner of the 100. Guess what? The entire 300 is munach ad shiavo elio. No one gets anything. If we can't decide who ultimately is the right owner of this money, all of it is put in Eliyahu HaNavi escrow. And his lashon over there is because if you pay out the hundreds, imkein mahif sid ramai, then what does a liar have to lose in lying? So using this logic, we would have thought that if our Mishnah, so the Gemara is saying, our Mishnah does not reflect the view of Rabbi Yossi. Because if our Mishnah reflected the view of Rabbi Yossi, then what? Then lemaisi, what would have been the halacha in the Mishnah? Shtaim oksim betalis. Zemrani mitzvah kol shali. Zemrani mitzvah kol shali. What should be the halacha?
No one gets it.
Let it just sit in Eliyahu HaNavi escrow. The fact that our Mishnah does not say that clearly indicates to us that our Mishnah does not reflect the view of Rabbi Yossi. Elo, so the Gemara says, Hamar imkei maser ela kol yebunach shabaliu ela mai rabbanon. So both say, so maybe you'll have to say that our Mishnah reflects the view of the rabbanon. Well, let's analyze this. So the Gemara says, ela mai rabbanon kevedam rabbanon hashra yebunach ad shiavo elio. So both say, listen to this. Remember, so the rabbanon say, in that case of Reuven and Shimon, they say only the third 100, the contested 100, should be put in Eliyahu HaNavi escrow. Ha nami kishar dami desveikahi. But if that's the case, remember, in our case, the talis that they're both holding onto should be like the disputed 100. If that's the case, just like the Rabbanan say, the disputed 100 goes into Eliyahu HaNavi escrow, so to what? The talis should also go into Eliyahu HaNavi escrow. To which the Gemara says, Hai mai, I amrit bishlam Rabbanan, hasam devadai hai mana dechad minayuhu, amir Rabbani yehemunach ad shiavo elio. So both say, in that case over there, Reuven and Shimon are both claiming the third 100. Here's what we know for sure, which is what they both say. What do we know for sure? That third 100 belongs, bless you, that third 100 belongs to someone. Meaning, one thing is clear, which is what? It's not jointly owned. it belongs to someone. We just don't know which someone it is. So when it definitely belongs to one party, and we can't be mevarer, which we can't define which party, the only solution is put it in Eliyahu Navi escrow. Hacha, the ikal ha-neimar de tarbayuhu. Now remember, in the case of Shnayin Ochsim Batalis, it is possible, as we spoke about yesterday, that's what? That both own the talis. How could it be possible that both own the talis? Well, let's say, pick it up at the same time. So because there's a possibility that they both own the talis, Ami Rabbanan Palgi Bishvua. We'll say, even the rabbis would agree that what? That in that kind of situation, you should go ahead and split the talis with a shivua. Eli Amrit Rabbi Yossi. So we'll say, therefore, again, it could be that the Mishnah reflects the view of the Rabbanan, because even though the Rabbanan holds in the case of the disputed hundred, we'll call it the third hundred, that Munach at Shiyavo Elio, even though, again, I say in that case, that's because we know there's a definitive owner, we just don't know who it is. Rather than run the risk of giving it to the wrong person, you put it in the Eliyahu Navi escrow. But in our case over here, of Shnayin Ochsim Batalis, where it's actually possible that both of them own the third hundred, then Eina Chinami will go ahead and will say Yachloku. But, Eli'i Amr Rabbi Yossi, but if you say that our Mishnah, Bab Metzia, over here, in our state, in the first paragraph of Bab Metzia, reflects the view of Rabbi Yossi, Hashta, Uma Hasam, Debevada, Ikamar Alamar, Vikamar Alamar, Amr Rabbi Yossi, Munach, Hashem, Elio. So we'll say in a case where we know for sure, in at least the Rabbi Yossi, what do we know for sure? We know for sure, what do we know for sure? It's not an existential question. I'm saying, in this case, what do we know for sure? That both Reuven and Shimon own 100. That we know for sure. And yet, despite that, Rabbi Yossi says that we put the entire 300 in Eliyahu Navi escrow. Hacha di'ikala meimar dechad meinayuhu. So what's in the case of Shnayin Ochsim Batalis, where what? Where it's possible that it really belongs all to one person. Lokol shekein. Then isn't that possible? Then we would assume that Rabbi Yossi would certainly say that in this case, what? Yehi munachat shiav Eliyahu, put the entire talis in Eliyahu Navi escrow. To which the Gemara says, "Afilutim Rabbi Yossi." No, it's possible that our Mishnah even reflects the view of Rabbi Yossi. How so? Hasam, Rabbi Yossi, Gimel Amud Aleph, pretty much middle of the page. Afilutim Rabbi Yossi, Hasam Vade Ikaramai. So, Rabbi Yossi, here's the difference. In the case of Reuven and Shimon, who both, one deposited 100, one deposited 200, and now they're both claiming the 200, one thing is clear, which is what? Somebody's lying. Somebody's saying there is a rami. And therefore, again, what Rabbi Yossi is trying to do is Rabbi Yossi is trying to disincentivize crime. And Rabbi Yossi, meaning because Rabbi Yossi feels people will try to push the limits on the truth when they have nothing to lose. But lemaisa, again, when they have something to lose, they're not going to lie. So therefore, again, we disincentivize lying. How? By going ahead and putting the entire pot in Eliyahu HaNavi escrow. Ha-ha. In the case of Shnayin Ochsim Batalis, maybe Rabbi Yossi wouldn't penalize. After all, why? There's not necessarily a liar in this case. How so? Ema tarvayu bahadi hadadi agvuhu. Say that ultimately, again, both of the individuals picked it up at the same time. So it's possible that when they both say, right, that's what Rabbi is saying, that they're in fact both telling the truth. If furthermore, in the case of Reuven and Shimon who both deposited the money with a third party, Rabbi Yossi imposes a fine of putting the whole pot in Eliyahu Navi escrow in order that someone will admit who the rightful owner of the third 100 is. Halcha, my psida is laid the lodi. Rabbi Yossi, in this case over here, what incentive is there ultimately, again, for anyone to admit that the talis belongs to the other? In other words, Rabbi Yossi, in the case of the money, there's an incentive to admit, according to Rabbi Yossi, why? Because if you don't come clean about your crime, you're not getting back your own money. In this case over here, remember, this is found money, to which the Gemara says, that's fine, that's fine. Tenach Metzia, Mekachu Memkar, Ma'ika Lameimar. Rabbi Yossi, that's fine. That's fine, but Lamaisa, again, that works in the case of Metzia, but in the case of Mekach u'Memkar, it would not work. And Rabbi Yossi, remember, again, we spoke about yesterday that the two cases of the Mishnah, Ani Metzasiha and Kula Sheli, are in fact two separate cases. Ani Metzasiha is talking about Metzia, Kula Sheli is talking about Mekach u'Memkar. Ella, Mechavarta Kiddushaninan Me'ikara. Rather, I will say, we have to say that if you want to indeed make the Mishnah reflective of the view of Rabbi Yossi, then you have to explain it as we explained it before. Rabbi Yossi, how did we explain it before? Just take a quick look at Tosis. Ela Mechavarta Kiddushaninan Me'ikara. third line into Tosus, last two words on the line. Elahecha deika vade ramai v'islei pseida avahocha deika ramai v'leka pseida lo yikno. So we'll say, what you'd have to say is like this. If you want to say that the Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Yossi, remember again, Rabbi Yossi is the one who seemed to say that whenever there's a possibility of lying, what do you do? What do you do? You go ahead and you say, Munach ad Sheva Ilyo. Put the entire amount in the escrow. When does Rabbi Yossi say that? Rabbi Yossi says that only again where that is going to cause a loss to the parties. Because Rabbi Yossi feels that if you cause a loss to someone, you're going to cause them to come clean. So if by claiming the second 100, I'm going to lose my 100, if I'm not the real owner, why would I risk my initial investment, my initial deposit, for the possibility of regaining something else, if the whole thing is just going to be put in escrow? That's when Rabbi Yossi says, Yehimunach ad Shiavo Ilyo. But Rabbi says, in a case where there's no psida, like in the case Alt Pseida, like in the case of Shnai Ochs and Metalis, where there's no loss, even Rabbi Yossi would agree that what? That if they both take a Shvua, they could split the Talis equally. To which the Gemara says, Bein Rabbanan, Bein Rabbi Yossi, Hasam Gamichen Vinyapin Kaso, Diktani Zen Nishba Venotel, Vezen Nishba Venotel. So Rabbi says, if you remember again, going back to yesterday's daf, we had the very interesting case of Chen Vinyapin Kaso. Remember that case? That was the case where I have employees, or I have an employee, and my employee Ruvain, I tell Ruvain to go to the general store, collect his wages in the form of goods, Shimon's general store. I give Shimon $1,000, or I should say, I tell Shimon, Ruvain's going to come and take up to $1,000 of stuff, and I'll pay you. What happens? My employee Ruvain shows up, I never got any money, I never got any goods. Shimon claims that what? I paid him $1,000 worth of goods. We'll both say, what's the halacha in that case? They both swear towards me. Well, actually, it's a machlokes, what the halacha is. Well, they both swear, they both swear towards me, and they both go ahead and get their money. So I have to pay out $2,000. I pay out $1,000 to the employee, and $1,000 to Shimon, the storekeeper. To which the Gemara says, well, let's analyze this case. So we'll say that in the case of Chenvin Alpin Kaso, which is the case we just described, Diktani Zenish Pavanotel, Zenish Pavanotel, and we'll say we said that both the employee and the storekeeper both go ahead and take an oath and collect from me. Maishna Dolo Amrinon, Nafke Lemamone Mi Balabais. Why don't we apply
the logic of Rabbi Yossi in this case? Somebody's lying, right? In this case, somebody for sure is lying. So why don't we say that any time where somebody's lying, what do you do? What do you do? You just put the entire pot in Eliyahu HaNavi escrow. That's it. Eliyahu HaNavi escrow, let Eliyahu HaNavi figure it out. Daha bevadei ikaramai, because it will say somebody's definitely lying in this case, to which the Gemara says, Amri Hasam Hainu Taimu, Amri Lechel Minila Balabayis, Anish Lichusa Didach Ka'avidna, Mai Isle Gabi Sochir. This case is different. Here's what's fascinating, and this is really such an interesting hakira in the case. You see, when we looked at the case of Chenvin Alpin Kaso, the way we looked at it is there are two claims, two simultaneous claims. The storekeeper is saying to me, you owe me money because I paid your worker, and the worker is saying what? The worker is saying, you owe me money because I never got paid. So the way we looked at it is, somebody's lying over here, right? Because obviously you have two diametrically opposed claims. It's impossible that both are correct. To which the Gemara says, but here's the difference. We don't view them as two simultaneous claims. We view them as two independent claims made against the same person. In other words, I will say, when the Chenvini shows up, when the storekeeper shows up and he says to me, listen, Silber, you owe me $1,000. And I say, listen, I don't know what to tell you, Shimon, because Reuven's telling me he never got paid. So what does Shimon say? What does Shimon say? I don't care what Reuven says. I have nothing to do with Reuven. My claim is against you. I gave out goods. You told me you were going to pay me. You owe me the money. Employee comes to me and says, you owe me money. I said, one second. Shimon, the storekeeper, told me that he paid you, Reuven. What are you talking about? Reuven says, I don't care what Shimon says. My claim is against you. So the way the Gemara is analyzing this is not as one large claim, but rather two independent cases. And in each case, the party coming to sue me for payment tells me, my claim has nothing to do with this other individual. My claim has to do with you. Anashli chusa didach. Actually, let's read that again. So the Gemara says, Amri hasal hainu taima, darma lechem din lebalabai. So the storekeeper says to me, Anashli chusa didach ka'avidna. I did what you asked me. My isli gabi sochir. What do I have to do with the employee? Afagav the kamishtabli, and I'm happy that he's willing to swear. I could care less if he swears. Lo mehemeli b'shvua. So we'll say, I don't believe him. We'll say, this is another incredible yisod. Remember we learned in Baba Kama that once you accept the shvua, you forgive payment. That only works if you trust the shvua of the individual. We're going to see is that there's a dynamic where, let's say, again, the plaintiff could say, I don't trust this individual. So he could swear from here until tomorrow that shvua makes absolutely no difference to me. So in this case of Rabosai, the storekeeper says, I don't care if the employee swears. I have nothing. This is your employee. This is your problem. It's not my problem. You and I have a case to settle up. You owe me money. He goes on, Atamanti Tilo Amrili Bisahadi Havli. Oh, well, say, listen to this. The storekeeper says to me, listen, Silber, you entrusted me. What's the proof that you entrusted me, that you trust me? You didn't make this arrangement in front of witnesses. Right? You see, if you were so concerned about that I'm not going to tell you the truth, then you should have made this arrangement in front of witnesses, and you should have made Eidos a part of our arrangement. The fact that you did not make Eidos part of our arrangement indicates that you take me at my word, and I'm telling you that I paid the guy, and you owe me $1,000. Just parenthetically, by the way, you know, the Kitzer Paskins, that you are not allowed to lend money to someone without edim. You're not allowed to lend money without witnesses. Why? It's amazing. The Kitzer says, if you do, it's a violation of lifnei iver lo sitei michshol. It's a violation, ultimately, again, of putting a stumbling block. Why? Because people have a yetzahara to not pay back money. This applies across all races, creeds, religions, and denominations, right? People have a desire not. So what happens? If there's edos, I can't lie. I mean, normal people can't lie. But if there's not Eidos, I'm setting up the borrower to potential. So I will say, so here in this case, the storekeeper says, listen, Silber, you asked me to do this. It's fine. If you would have asked for Eidos, I would have been fine for Eidos. But you didn't ask for Eidos. Which means at the end of the day, you trust me at my word. If you trust me at my word, then again, I don't care what the employee does swear or doesn't swear. I'm telling you I paid him. If I'm telling you I paid him, then you have to go ahead and pay me my money. To which the Gemara says, Uschir nami similarly, again, we'll say when the employee comes along, he says, listen, you hired me to work. I did my work. My isli gabe chenvini. What do I have to do with this storekeeper? So we'll say, I don't care if the storekeeper swears or doesn't swear. I have nothing to do with the storekeeper. I am your employee. Hilchach tarvayu mishtabi v'shakli yomavas. This is, interestingly enough, they both take a shvua to the balabais, so both of them just swear about to authenticate their words, and they're both able to take from the balabais. Tani Rebbe Chiya. Manali biyadecha v'ala omer ein lecha biyadiklum. So let's listen to this case. I say to Reuven, you owe me $1,000. Reuven says, I owe you nothing. Va'idim me'idim oso she'yesh chamishim zuz. So I will say, what happens? Witnesses now come along. And the witnesses testify that Reuven owes me $500. So again, remember, my claim against him is for $1,000. Reuven says, I owe you nothing. Witnesses come along and say, no, he owes you $500. So what's the halacha? No sein lo chamishim zuz v'yishava al ashar. So we'll say, the halacha is that Reuven has to pay me the $500 based on the testimony of the witnesses. And what? He has to swear about the rest. Sounds like what Rabbi say? Sounds like modeva mikzos. Good. So listen to this. We'll discuss that in just a moment. Vishav al ashar. Shalote odas pev gidol mi'ados idim mikav chomer. Because Rabbi say, listen to this. One's own admission should be no stronger than the testimony of witnesses based on a kav chomer. We'll discuss what that means in just a moment. V'tana tuna. We have a bright set that supports this as well. Shnaim ochsim betalis. Ze omrani mitzah siha. So the Gemara now quotes our Mishnah. And our Mishnah is two people are holding on to the talis. This one says, I found it and it's all mine. This one says, I found it and it's all mine. V'ha ha ha. Kevan de tafis. Now we'll say, now since each of the parties is holding on to the talis, Anan Sahadi demai de tafis hai di dehu. Oh, thank you. Umay de tafis hai di dehu. So we'll say, we are like the witnesses who see that what this one is holding belongs to him. What this one is holding belongs to him. Vikatani yeshava. And I will say, so we, essentially, here's what's interesting. The Gemara says, when we walk on the scene, we being the Beis Din walks on the scene, and what do we see? We see Reuven holding the talis, Shimon holding the talis. Both claiming that the talis is theirs. They both say that is effectively the same thing as if what? As if each of them had edim who showed up saying that they each owned half of the talis. Vekatani Yeshava. And yet the halacha is that they have to swear regarding that taf. My lab, shalote odas piv gilome adas edim kavachomer. So we'll say, so what does this mean? That in order that my own personal admission should be no greater than the testimony of witnesses based on a kavachomer. Listen to this. Shalote mar hodas piv udurami rachmano shvu ali kidrabo. So we'll say, don't just say that it's only in a case of where one admits liability that we have an imposed shvua on the individual. But remember again, the imposed shvua is based on rabba, like we learned earlier. The amar rabba mipnei ma amar torah mov demitzah satani yeshava. We'll say, why is it that we say that if you have partial admission, right? I say that Reuven owes me $1,000. He says I only owe you $500. So what's the halacha? He has to swear about the remaining $500. Why? So the Gemara says, Chazaka ain adam is part of the Thnei Balchovo. Because we'll say there's a Chazaka that's what? A person doesn't lie, a bold faced lie, right to his creditor. So if somebody lent me money, normal people can't lie and say, I owe you nothing. But in reality, I would like, if I could, if I had the strength, I'd like to be able to deny the entire debt. But again, I can't. Because again, a person doesn't have the ability to really go ahead and fully deny the entire debt in the face of his creditor. So the Gemara said, but we'll say, in reality, even though we just said before that I really want to deny the whole claim, deep down, I really want to admit the whole claim, because a Jew deep down always wants to do the right thing. I want to admit that I owe the money. We'll say, there's an incredible hashkafik yisod over here. Also, we see this multiple times in halacha. We see this over here. Deep down, I want to admit. We saw it in Gittin, Kofin Osa Achiyom Erotza on the Kabir Abdazim until it says, I want to give the get. You see this recognition in halacha, not just in hashkafa, that deep down the Jew always wants to do the right thing. Deep down we always want to do the right thing. It's just so many things in life get in the way. So in this case over here, the borrower really wants to go ahead and pay back the entire claim. So we'll say, so why is the borrower only admitting half of the claim? Because he's trying to buy himself some time. He figures to himself, what? You know what? I just need to buy myself some time. I don't have the money. I will say, it's another incredible yisod in life. So why doesn't the borrower just say, I don't have the money? Because I will say, there's something called gaiva, and there's something called covet, and there's something called ego, and we do all kinds of crazy things for the preservation of our ego and our covet. So again, he could just say to the creditor, I don't have the money. And I will say, you know, there is borrower protection. There's biblical borrower protection. Biblical borrower protection is that if the borrower does not have the money, the creditor can't necessarily pursue him under all circumstances. So, but yet, he doesn't say it, because instead what he does is he lies, and he says, I don't have it. Or he admits part of it, because perhaps that's the cash he has on hand, but lemaisik, and he wants to buy himself some additional time to be able to pay off the rest. And we'll say, therefore the Torah says, slap him with a shvua. This way, again, it'll get him to admit the rest of it. In other words, we're fine, we're happy to work out a payment plan, but what we need to do is solidify the authenticity of the creditor's claim. So now that he admitted half of it, now that you're admitting that there is a debt liability that exists, the shvua is going to make sure that you admit to the rest of it as well. Or on the flip side, if he swears that he doesn't owe it, it frees him from liability from the rest. Aval ha'adas edim, we're supposed to listen to this. Aval ha'adas edim, the lekal neimar hachi. So you're supposed to say, remember, in a case of ha'adas edim. Now what's the case? So we'll say, in the case of Ha'adas Edim, that's the case where I lent Reuven $1,000. Reuven says, I owe you nothing. Witnesses come along and testify that, look, we know that Reuven owes at least 500. We know about 500 debt, right? So I will say, remember, in that case, the logic that we just espoused doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? Because, lemaisa, again, remember, the borrower is not admitting anything. Right, he's denying the claim in its entirety. It's witnesses who are making him chayef half. So the Gemara says, so we'll say, I might have thought that therefore lemaisa, again, in a case of where the witnesses are claiming that lemaisa, again, he is chayef for 500. I might have thought that in that case, again, he's not chayef a shvuah on the remaining 500. Kamashmalo said that even in the case where he denies the entire amount, witnesses come along and say, no, you're chayef 500, that's what? He has to swear for the remaining 500. So in other words, he has to take a shvua of modeb miksas, of partial admission, even though what? even though again he's a kofar bakal, right? Even though again there is no partial admission. That's the chiddush over here. Why? Because the testimony of witnesses should be no less strong than one's own personal admission, based on a kavachomer. So it says the Gemara, what does that mean? Umay kavachomer, umapiv shem mechayv mama mechayv shvua. So what's it when it comes to one's own mouth? In other words, one can't be mechayv himself. So we'll say if one's own mouth that can't go ahead and make him chayiv mamon. So we'll say, so we'll discuss exactly what this means. But I can't become chayiv in mamon through my own admission. Yet again, my own admission can make me chayiv a shvua. Edim shemechayiv in osa mamon. Then I will say all the more so again. Edim who can be mechayiv mi mamon, chayiv me to pay back. Enodin shemechayiv in osa shvua. I will say should certainly make me go ahead and be chayiv shvua for the remainder of the money that is owed. So the Gemara says, "Upiv ein mechayv mamon." What does that mean? You can't be chayv mamon through your own admission. Vaha hodas baldin kame edim dami. We'll say it's not true. In fact, again, one's mouth is one of the greatest vehicles to make one liable money. Why? Because you have a concept of hodas baldin, that if I admit that I owe something, my personal admission is the equivalent of 100 witnesses. To which the Gemara says, no. What did we mean when we say that one can't be chayiv mamon through his own money? My mamon, knas. Also, I will say we're very proficient in this from our Baba Kama days as well. And remember again, what's the halacha? Mode b'knas, potter. Remember again, if you admit knas liability, then ultimately you're potter. So I will say, if through my own admission, my own mouth can't be mechayiv mi knas, and witnesses can, so certainly again, witnesses can be mechayev mi eshvua of modem mitzvahs as well. So the kavachomer would go like this. The kavachomer would say that my own mouth, that can't be mechayev mi eknas, but yeah, witnesses can be mechayev mi eknas, so certainly if my mouth can be mechayev mi eshvua of modem mitzvahs, witnesses could also be mechayev mi eshvua of modem mitzvahs. To which the Gemara says, my mom and knas. I'm sorry, I'm reading inside. Got a little excited. So we'll say, if my own mouth, that cannot be mechayiv mi knas, because if I admit that I owe the knas on potter, mechayiv shvua, yet again, my own mouth can make me chayiv shvua, meaning I will say, when they say my mouth can be mechayiv mi shvua, what does that refer to? That's modu b'miktas. That if I admit half of the liability, I have to take a shvua on the rest. Edim shemechayiv also knas, eno din shemechayiv also shvua. Then I will say, edim witnesses, witnesses who can make me chayiv in a knas certainly can make me chayiv in a shvua of modeh b'miktas. I will say the Gemara is just trying to expand the case of modeh b'miktas. We thought modeh b'miktas is only a case of my own personal admission of part of the claim, and now it turns out the Gemara is suggesting that when witnesses show up and say that I own part of the claim, even though what I just denied the entire claim, that's also called modeh b'miktas, because edus on half of the claim should be no less strong than my own personal admission of half of the claim. To which the Gemara says, 1 second, Malipiv shekem echaybo karbon. Oh, we'll say, but there is, you can't necessarily draw that parallelism between one's mouth and witnesses, because through my own admission, I can be mechayiv myself a karbon, right? They both say, at the end of the day, if I admit that I transgressed in a certain way, I will be chayiv a karbon. Tomar be'edim she'en mechayiv in oso karbon. So we'll say, witnesses cannot make me chayiv a carbon. Now, this is an interesting case. Let's say somebody tells me I ate chalif, forbidden fats. I say, I did not eat chalif. I didn't eat chalif. Witnesses come along and say, you ate chalif. You ate chalif. And I will say, if witnesses come along and tell me that I ate someone else's chalif, there's a monetary claim, that's something else. Let's say they're not saying that. They're just coming along to tell me I did Naveira. We'll say the halacha is that I cannot be made chayiv a karban based on their statement. You can only be chayiv a karban based on your own statement. But witnesses can't make me chayiv a karban. Halokash Rabbi Chiya karban yisirli. So let's say this is not a question. Why? Because Rabbi Chiya holds like Rabbi Meir. What does Rabbi Meir say? Domer eid mechayiv in osa karban mikavachomer. Oh, because what's another kavachomer? Because he holds that what? Witnesses can make someone chayiv a karban based on a kavachomer. We'll say, what's the kavachomer? Disnan. So two guys come over to Reuben, they say, Reuben, you ate chalif. Reuben said, no, I didn't. Rabbi Meir Mechayiv, Rabbi Meir says that ultimately Reuben is going to be chayiv a karbon based on their statement, and the Chacham poached him. The Chachamim say no, that he's potter. Why? Because you can only become chayav a carbon based on your own recognition. Amr Meir, im heviu shnei ledei misach amor leviu ledei carbon akal. So Meir says to Rabbanan, I don't understand, what are you guys talking about? If two witnesses are strong enough to have someone executed, why wouldn't two witnesses be strong enough to go ahead and what? Have someone bring a carbon? Oh, so he says, Amru lo, so the Rabbanan said back, the Chacham said back to Rabbi Meir, ma im yirtze lomar mezeh hayisi potter. We'll say, here's the difference by carbon. Remember, by carbon, an individual always has an out. What's the out? He could say, I did it b'mezid. We'll say, remember again, most carbonos for, I should say, call it, I don't know if this is the right word, infractional carbonos. Is that a word? I'm not getting any lawyer support over here. Mamish, all right. Maybe if I pay a retainer or something. What's going on over here? So again, if at the end of the day, a person wants to say, I went ahead, I violated. Yes, I ate the chalev. So I was mazed. If I say that I was mazed, then Abosa, I am potter from a carbon. Because carbonos usually only come from shogeg. So what the Rabbanos seem to be saying to Rabbi Meir is the following. That you know why witnesses can't go ahead and make someone chayav a carbon? Because a person could always make the claim and say, mazed hayisi. So Abosa, it's almost what it sounds like is, it almost sounds like a migo. That's what it sounds like. That since, technically speaking, I could potter myself from the carbon by simply saying, mazed hayisi, therefore, again, I'm believed when I say I did not do the act that you're claiming. That's the sheet of the Rabbanan. Elo, malepiv shekei mechaiva asham. So we'll say, but 1 second. The mouth has the ability to be mechaiv someone of asham. So which the Gemara says, fine. Hainu carbon. We just said that. That's part of carbon. Elo, malepiv shekei mechaiva chomesh. Oh, so we'll say, listen to this. Again, this is great because we're reviewing all of our Baba Kama topics. So remember again, we'll say through my own admission, I can be chayiv chomesh. So remember again, what's chomesh? I go ahead, I take a shavua, and I lied. I admit that I lied. The halacha is, remember again, I have to bring a carbon. We're not talking about the carbon right now, but I have to pay, in addition to paying back that which I am liable to, there's an additional penalty fifth. So I will say, that chomesh only comes about in a very specific case of what? If I admit that I lied. So the Gemara says, just like your mouth is able to go ahead, and so, malapiv sheilum chayiv chomesh. So Gemara, I want to be clear, let me take a step back. Remember what we're trying to do over here. The Gemara is making a kavachomer. The kavachomer is that if my mouth has the ability, that witnesses should be no less strong than my mouth. Right? What does that mean? That just like my mouth, through my partial admission, makes me chayiv a shvua, so too if there's eidos about partial liability, that generates a shvua on the remainder as well. And the Gemara, the kavachomer. The kavachomer essentially was trying to show that what? That eidos is stronger than one's mouth. Eidos is stronger than one's. We're trying now to deconstruct the kavachomer by showing that mouth and eidos are totally dissimilar. You can only make a kavachomer abosei with two things that share a common denominator. But if you demonstrate that they are dramatically different, then by definition the kavachomer falls apart. So now what we're trying to show is how piv is different than eidos. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you another difference. Malapiv shekem echai v'chomesh. Abosei, right? One's mouth can make one liable in chomesh in the fifth, and yet Aiden can't do that. You only chayv in chomesh if you admit your own personal liability. Holokashia, Rabbi Chia Rabbi Meir Svirle. Rabbi Chia holds like Rabbi Meir, who says that what? That just as what Rabbi said, just as witnesses could go ahead and make you chayev a carbon according to Rabbi Meir based on the kavachomer, so too witnesses can make you chayev a chomesh as well. Therefore, it's not just your own mouth that makes you chayev a chomesh, is eidos as well. So we'll say, we're going to stop over here for today. We're going to continue. But again, I just want to tell you where we're leaving off. I'm going to tell you... we'll stop over here for today. So we'll say, one more line. Ela malepiv shekin eno ba'chasho ba'zama, because this really ends it off. Rather, why don't you say the following? When it comes to one's mouth, we'll say, one's mouth is not subject to achasha and hazama. So we'll say, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Eno ba'chasho ba'zama. Im hode lo b'manu bo edin v'chishu, lomar in chachayiv lo klum, eno nifter b'kach to odos ba'dug me'edim. We'll say, if I admit that I owe money to someone, and then what? Witnesses come along and testify, No, you don't. And we'll say, what's the halacha? I still owe the money. Why? Because the moment that you admit something, I will say, that liability sticks even in the face of contradictory testimony. Tomar be'edim shesh tam b'achosha ba'azama. I will say, when it comes to edos, edim ultimately, again, are subject to refutation. If one set of witnesses say A, and another set of witnesses come along and potentially refute them, that refutation would stand. So we'll stop over here. Where we're ending off now, at the end of the day, is that l'maisa, again, the kal chomer between one mouth piv and edos may not be so clear, because we've demonstrated that they are fundamentally separate and distinct. If that's the case, I will say, we're going to have to go back and see where we learned that the case of where witnesses come along and testify about partial liability, how we know that that partial testimony triggers a shavua on the rest of it. That Amir HaShem will be continued tomorrow. Ari. Okay, start the sleepers. We'll get a different one.